Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What awesome praise and worship that was. I just wanted to shout. Thank God for the praise team. Today, we're going to dig into this word as we continue in this series called Godfidence. We're on part 5 today. So today, you got your Bibles, your tablets, whatever you're using. Go to the Gospel of Luke again. We're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. We're going to back that thing on up a little bit right here. And chapter 4 says this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit and into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, they had ended and he was hungry. Today, we're going to talk about this, following his lead. Yeah. Following his lead. Let's be honest. A lot of people love to lead, but not many people love to follow. Yeah. Because follow requires submission. A great level of maturity comes when I'm able to follow someone, when I'm able to admit that they may know more than me, have a better handle on things than me, and I could learn and benefit from their guidance. Yeah. Jesus, though he was God, he still had human flesh. He had a human nature that he had to deal with, even though he was being God. He was 100% God and 100% man. And we know our flesh sometimes have a mind of its own. Yeah. We know our flesh sometimes can do what it want to do, can think how it wants to think, and want to move how it wants to move. So we know that. But Jesus showed us what a life looks like when you are spirit controlled and your flesh does not have control over you. He showed that by submitting to God, the Father, and being led by the Spirit. So before I jump into chapter 4, I just got to backpedal a little bit and knock out some points on chapter 3. Because chapter 3 shows this, watch this, Jesus' commitment to the Father's will. Woo! Jesus' commitment to the Father's will. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. Jesus allowed John to baptize him. Think about this. John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. He said, look here, repent for your sins and be baptized. He said, look, one is coming. I'm baptizing with water, but somebody's coming that's baptizing with fire. Jesus shows up on the scene and says, John, cuz, I need you to baptize me. And John's like, hold up, I'm not even worthy enough to tie your sandals. I'm not worthy enough for that. But Jesus told him, you have to baptize me so that all righteousness is fulfilled. That I get it, you think you're not worthy, but we got to do this because it's the will of the Father. So early, Jesus shows us what? That he's committed to the Father's will. So Jesus gets baptized, y'all. Then we see the Trinity. We see Jesus come up out of the water. The Holy Spirit ascends on him like a dove. And then God says from heaven, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. We see that all three together in one. And think about this. Jesus didn't even begin his ministry until he was affirmed by his Father. Woo! That hit me right there. That Jesus didn't even begin the ministry. He didn't begin preaching the gospel. He didn't begin going to heal the sick and raising the dead and do all that he did until he got affirmed by his Father. Can I talk to a brother today? Let you know there is power in your voice that you should be affirming your children, speaking life into them, letting them know who they are, what they are, and what they can be. It is something about being affirmed that helps us go on to do great things. My God, Jesus was affirmed first. So then the first thing that happens after he's affirmed and before the ministry begins to go on, he is led to the wilderness by the Spirit. Think about that, y'all. He's led in the wilderness by the Spirit. He spends 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't eat nothing. He doesn't drink anything. He's hungry to be tempted by the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the elephant in the room right there. Why would the Spirit lead him into a wilderness to not eat, not drink, and then throw salt in the wound to be tempted by the devil? Woo! Look at this. I learned this. People sometimes want to do ministry, but they don't want to go to the wilderness. Hope I'm helping somebody today. People want to be blessed and highly favored, but nobody wants to go to the wilderness. It's a trip because the wilderness is somewhere we got to go to. Moses, after he had killed a man and ran, he was trying to get the children of Israel out of bondage, trying to do it his own way. What happened? He went to go spend 40 years in the wilderness preparing till he got right and was able to lead the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's captivity. It was the children of Israel who, after they split the Red Sea, God split the Red Sea, they went through the wilderness, which was supposed to be a short trip, but turned into being 40 years because they didn't learn their lesson. They had to learn a lesson in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul, who once he got saved, remember Paul was persecuting Christians and killing Christians. He got saved, and before he could go back preaching and teaching, he had to go to Arabia for a certain amount of time and spend some time in the wilderness. All I'm saying, if you're going to be what God has called you to be and get to your next destiny, your next point, you got to spend time in the wilderness. Woo! You cannot reject the wilderness. It is time in the wilderness that will lead you into God's will. Yeah. Do not neglect your wilderness season. All relationships go through a wilderness season. Think about that. All of those that have friendships and significant others and husband and wives, relationships are tested. How do I know you love me and we don't go through something? How do I know this is going to work if we don't go through some hard times? We got to go through something to understand that in our natural relationships. So why do we think God is any different? Why don't you think you and God got to go through something to prove your love is real, to prove your faith is real? Come on, New Edition. Storms will come. This we know for sure. Well, can you stand the rain? Yeah, sometimes you got to prove you can stand the rain, to prove this relationship is worth standing on and fighting for. Because God's already proved it, his love by us, because he died for us. Amen, amen. Look at this. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Yeah, I love this because I don't believe Satan was doubting Jesus' deity. I don't think he was saying "if" like it was a question. It was more of like, since you the Son of God. Yeah. You that seed that he talked about in Genesis 3:15 that was going to bruise my head and all that. You was going to be the one. So since you the Son of God, since you the one that's supposed to be walking in this perfection, I know you hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus was hungry. He hadn't ate for 40 days and 40 nights. He's thirsty, so he's hungry. Look at this. And the devil, first temptation was to look here, turn these stones into bread. The enemy attacks us at our weakest points. Yeah. He attacks us at our weakness. I love this. Jesus, he knows Jesus is hungry. He knows he has flesh, a natural need to eat because he's wrapped in human flesh like a man. He says, since you God's son, why are you hungry? Turn these stones into bread and feed yourself, is what the devil told Jesus. And let's look at Jesus' response in 4:4. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Woo! I started to call this message, "It was written." I almost did because Jesus said it so many times, but we missed the significance of this temptation. Israel was in the wilderness. I talked about that earlier. And what happened? They were hungry. They complained they didn't have no food. They complained they didn't have anything. So God sent manna, fresh bread from heaven, so they had bread. Israel complained about not having any water. And God made water come from a rock. Then God told Moses to speak to it. And Moses got frustrated with them, hit the rock, and he didn't get to go see the promised land. But again, they were complaining because they thinking God wouldn't provide for them. Look at this. So what is he trying to do? The enemy is trying to make Jesus provide for himself. Think about that. You deserve this, Jesus. You hungry. You done fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That doesn't make any sense. Go ahead and get yourself some bread. Feed yourself. You need bread to live. I love this. The devil is trying to get Jesus messed up in the wilderness, just like he got Israel messed up in the wilderness. But Jesus' job is to reverse the curse. Ain't you glad we serve a God that came to reverse the curse, that came to be the second Adam, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, to walk in the fullness of God, and say, you know what? I came to reverse all that the enemy has put in us. I am the second Adam. The devil tried to get him to do the same thing Israel did, which lets me know my enemy, my devil, doesn't use new tricks because the old ones work. Woo! That's for us to keep falling in the same area, in the same situation. And it's like a rerun of Martin. We know every episode. We know what Cole going to say, what Martin going to say, what Tommy going to say, when Pam going to get kicked out. We know it all. And the enemy is the same thing. He keeps showing us rerun after rerun because the old stuff still works. But Jesus said, "It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds or comes out of the mouth of God." In that moment, Jesus chose this, watch this, to be fathered and not fed. Woo! I hope that helped somebody today. He chose in that moment to be fathered and not fed. See, fed would mean that I'm providing for myself. Fed would mean that I'm going to take my destiny in my own hand. Fed means I'm going to take care of my needs because God doesn't seem to care about my needs. No, but he chose to be fathered instead of fed. Remember, confidence is what? Having supreme confidence in who God is, in his ability, in his word, in his character, in his nature. All of that is what confidence is. I'm fully committed in understanding that who God is and who God is what's best for me. He has my best interest in heart. If God said it, then he meant it. If he spoke it, it shall come to pass. And God said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. I love how Jesus answered the temptation. Then look at this, Luke 4:5-7. Then the devil, taking him up on the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And if I give it to whomever I wish, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Woo, woo. Look at that. How that just first started. Then the devil. The devil ain't going to give up after one try. Come to help somebody today. Because if you think the devil's going to let you get saved, have a wonderful life, a wonderful marriage, happy kids, no issues, no problems, just float your way into heaven from earth, I'm sorry, you're not reading the Bible. No, you will be persecuted. Jesus said, expect it, because if the world hated me, they're going to hate you also because you're my follower. We have to expect that we're going to go through some trials and tribulations. We live in a fallen world. The devil is upset that we have accepted Christ as our Savior, as our remission for sins, as our way to the Father. He's upset about that. So he's going to do what he can to make life not peaches and cream. We got to understand that. So look at this. He says, look here, he showed him all the kingdoms and said, I can give it to whoever I want. He offered Jesus the world. And my question is, because I know we want to be successful. I know we want to have a good life on earth. Ain't nothing wrong with that, having plans and projects. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But trip this out. Check this out. If he offered it to Jesus, why wouldn't he offer it to us? You ever thought about that? If he offered Jesus the power, the money, the respect, all the kingdoms of the world, and said, I can give it to whoever I want, as long as they bow down and worship me, what makes you think he don't offer it to us? See, the devil is trying to show us, look here, he wants to know, what is worth throwing your salvation away? Is it the money? I can get you that. Is it the power? I can get you that. Is it the respect? Is it the women? Is it the drugs? Whatever you want, I can get you that as long as you're willing to throw away your salvation. My God, my God. That's why Jesus had to tell the disciples, what profit is a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Because you can try to gain everything this world has to offer, but in the end, you will ultimately lose your soul. My God, my God. Look at this. Our lust and our lust for money and power sometimes has us all bind up by the enemy. The devil offered Christ a kingdom, watch this, built on pride, self-pleasing, and accolades. He said, I can get you all this. I get you the kingdoms, the power, the money. I get you all that, but just don't go to the cross. You can't have it that way. But Jesus said, look here, I'm choosing a kingdom built on love, sacrifice, and atonement for sins. The kingdom I'm trying to build can't be built on those. That's a shaky ground. If it's built on money, eventually it's going to crumble. If it's built on power and fear, eventually it's going to crumble. If it's built on anything but the sounding word of God, if it's built on anything but the rock of Jesus, anything but the rock, it will eventually fall. It's like building on sinking sand. Look at Luke 4:8. Then he says this, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So the first temptation, Jesus said, look here, I'd rather be fathered than be fed. And then the next one, he said this, watch this. My dad is greater than my bag. Woo! That my dad is greater than the bag. I'm trying to help somebody. God over money is basically what I'm saying. Because Jesus says this, you can't serve two masters, for you will love one and you will hate the other. You can't serve God and money, so we got to put God over money. You can offer me powers and kingdoms and all that. That's cool in the game, but I will never put the bag over my dad. Nah, I love God too much. I love my father too much. He's been too good and too kind for me. And I know this, that money is cool. Everybody need money, but money can't buy happiness and it can't buy love. Yeah, yes, people that got all the money in the world that's sad, depressed, and going through some things. It's people that got all the money in the world and have married somebody, but that person don't really love them. They don't really feel the love they need. Why? Because money can't buy everything. And people are fickle. Think about that. He offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world and all these people looking at you and putting you in prestigious and lifting you up. But people are fickle. I believe it was Mike Joseph said, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. And I don't know about you. I ain't into the hip hop world like I used to be. But I don't think Mike Jones around like that no more. So he back to where he used to be. And I don't think people are on him again. People are fickle. We can't be caught up in what people think of us and the power it gets from being seen and being famous. Because one day you're hot and one day you're not. But I know one day when I'm with God, I'm always good. Praise the Lord. So I'm never going to let the bag get between me and my dad. Amen. Which my dad is God. Jesus' confidence in his Father is the only one that gets worship, and he's the only one that gets to be served. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, when we put our confidence in things other than God, it turns into worship. Yeah, when we put our confidence, whether it be in jobs, lotteries, casinos, sports, well, whatever it is, whatever we're into, and we lift things up and put them on a pedestal above God, because God got to have that number one spot. He's coming for that number one spot in our hearts. He has to have the number one spot. And it's easy for us to put things over him and don't even notice it. I'm an NBA fan. Don't get it twisted. I'm happy the NBA is back. I'm loving seeing what my Pacers are doing. My boy TJ Warren is on fire. I love it. I love it. I'm excited. But I thought about it. It's a trip how we can sit and watch maybe 4 or 6 hours of NBA basketball in the bubble and can't open up a Bible for 15 minutes. We can watch 4 to 6 hours of the bubble and can't even go through a sermon and get our spirit man filled. It's a trip. So we got to be careful when we start putting things, nouns, people, places, things above God, because that's what the enemy wants. Look at this. Look at this. Luke 4:9-11. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, watch this, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. My God, my God. This is the temptation that probably stands out the most to me. Yeah, I'm going to explain why. Because the devil quoted scripture. Jesus hit him with it was written twice. He said, okay, you kind of slick. You know a little something. You know a little something. I can tell you ain't the average Joe. I can tell you ain't Adam in the garden. I can tell that. Okay, so check this out. I'm going to give you Psalm 91 because it is written that God will get charge over you and his angels will come and won't let you dash your foot on the stone. The enemy quoted Psalm 91. Go read it for yourself later. He quoted Psalm 91, but the trip is he quoted it out of context. Whew, don't miss that. He quoted the word of God, but he got it out of context. That's why it's so important for you to know the word of God for yourself. Y'all know me, Pastor George PG. I'm pushing you all the time to get into the Bible yourself, to read the word, because anybody can tell you anything. I don't care if they're pastor, preacher, bishop, whatever. You still have to be accountable for your salvation. You still got to be accountable for your relationship with God. So you need to open up the word of God yourself to see it and to try to get some understanding from it. Amen. But God, watch this. He told him to go basically jump, try to commit suicide. Go try to kill yourself, and because God, you're God's child, you're God's son, he ain't gonna let nothing happen to you. But I gotta tell you this, God isn't going to direct us to do something against his word. Whew. Yeah. The Bible is clear. God is not a man that he shall lie. That's confidence. I got confidence in his character. He's not a man he shall lie. So God is not going to tell us to go and do something that is totally opposite of his word. That's how I judge it, to see where I'm at, what I should be doing, how this thing lines up. I'm not going to do it because why? It's outside of his word, which means it's outside of his character. Because sometimes faith dresses itself up like foolishness. I don't know who I'm trying to help today. I don't know. But sometimes faith, we think it's faith. It looks good. It is appealing. It's pleasing. But sometimes it's dressed up in faith, but it's really foolishness. God ain't ordained that. God ain't told you to go do that. God ain't said go make that move. But because you have decided this is faith, I'm going to do it. And God hasn't given you the wisdom to go attach that thing yet. So look at this. Just because I'm confident in God will protect me doesn't mean I put myself in harm's way. See, that's what the enemy was trying to get Jesus to do. All right, it is written, you believe in God, your Father, he's all that. Go try to harm yourself and watch him protect you. That doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. Just because I know God is my provider, my protection, because God is my protector, don't mean I'm going to go jump into the middle of a mess and say, God, protect me. Yeah, just because God is my provider doesn't mean I'm not going to do nothing. Say, God, provide. You do all the work. I'm going to sit here and wait on you. No, 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 no. We have to make sure we're lining up with his word. Why? Because faith without works is dead. So look at this. I'm almost done. We've seen Jesus display confidence in his Father. How? He chose to be fathered and not fed. He chose to be fathered and not fed. Think about that, y'all. Fathered and not fed. He didn't want to be fed by himself. He didn't want to choose himself. Then next, watch this. He says, you know what? I can't choose the bag over my dad. My dad is greater than the bag. And this lastly, we see this. Watch this. Jesus stand instead of scurry. Woo! Yeah. He's standing on the word of God instead of scurry, you know, instead of hurrying up and making a decision. Look at this. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, look at this. It has been said, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Woo, woo, woo. I love this. We see Jesus, instead of being rushed, he waited. Yeah. Instead of hurrying up, he said, no, I got to hold on to God. Instead of rushing and forcing things, Jesus says, no. I'm not about to make no rash decision that my Father ain't told me to make. I'm trying to help somebody. If you feel rushed and you feel pressure to make a decision, that ain't from God. God ain't trying to force you or pressure you to do anything. If he's trying to hit you with that, baby, if you love me, you would do it, that ain't from God. Praise God, amen. You shouldn't feel pressured or rushed into doing anything. That's not God. God wants you to make rash decisions. God wants you to think about what you're about to do. God wants you to understand the consequences of the decisions you're about to make. And the enemy is trying to rush Jesus. He brings him to the pinnacle, to the top, and says, look here, if you're the Son of God, jump off of this building, jump off this pinnacle, and he gonna catch you. And Jesus says, nah, bruh. It is written, and it said, we should not tempt the Lord our God. Wow. Jesus was only able to stand, watch this, because he was the word, but watch this, because he understood the word. He was what was written, but he knew what was written at the same time. Praise God. Think about that. Temptation has less of a chance producing its desire in you. Watch this. When you know what is written. That's powerful right there. I probably need to repeat that. Temptation has less of a chance producing its desire in you when you know what is written. What do you mean? Pastor George? Okay, it's like this. That I know I can stand on something if greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that temptation can't have his desire in me when I have the word in me. When I know that I'm supposed to come dressed in the full armor of God, that I'm supposed to put on my helmet of salvation, that I'm supposed to put on my belt of righteousness. When I know I'm supposed to, my belt is truth and buckler. When I'm supposed to have on my breastplate of righteousness. When I'm supposed to have my sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. When I'm supposed to have my feet prepared with the gospel of peace. When I'm supposed to gird my loins. When I'm supposed to dress in the full armor of God, have the shield of faith to quench the enemy's fiery darts. The fiery darts were coming at Jesus one after another, but every time the dart came, he responded with faith and said, it was written, because my Father had already written and gave me the response to beat the enemy. Woo! This is what the Bible tells me, what? To hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm able to stand on the word of God. Woo! The Bible declares that if I hide the word of God in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We got to hide the word of God in our heart. It has to be hidden. It has to be in the dark place. It has to be in the place where we find ourselves vulnerable. It has to be in the place where temptation lurks. It has to be in the place where inside of us does not want to obey God. If I hide the word in my heart, eventually it will come out. That's why we quote scriptures like this. What? Train a child up in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart. Why? Because they have something to stand on. And Jesus, his confidence in God lets us know this. Look at this. In Hebrews, it says this. We have a high priest that does not sympathize, that sympathizes with us. You know what I mean? He was tempted in every way, but yet did not sin. We see it right here. We have a high priest who was tempted to take care of himself, the Father himself. We have a high priest that tried to, that could have provided for himself. We have a high priest that didn't tempt God. We have a high priest that stood on God's word, the enemy tempting him in every way, yet he still stood and did not sin. That's why I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can come boldly to God and find strength and mercy in the time of need. As a believer, watch this, my confidence comes from my belief and trust in him and being able to stand. See, when I'm able to stand, the enemy can't get me to fall. Are you sure, Pastor? I'm positive. Because the book of James said this, and I'm done. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. And as you know, at the end of this temptation, after Jesus was led by the Spirit and led into the wilderness and continued to fight back with the word of God, he submitted to the word of God. He resisted the devil. And then he said, Satan, get out of here. Get behind me. And you know what happened? The devil left him for a season. The devil left him and didn't come back until it was time for him to get to the cross. Can I suggest to you, if you learn how to stand and not scurry, if you stand on God's unchanging hands, if you stand on the word of God, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But you got to stand. You got to submit to God. You got to say, God, I know my flesh don't agree with it. God, I know something in me don't want to do it. But God, I'm submitting to you. I'm holding down the fort. I'm staying on your word. I'm locking it up. I'm staying with you. And I'm going to resist the devil. And as I resist the devil, I know he will flee, because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Confidence. In this season, we got to learn to follow his lead. And that's all it's about. Jesus gave us the example. Jesus showed us and said, look here, you got to follow my lead. I'm the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, watch this, except through me. So if you're in a season right now, doubt, despair, and you don't have supreme confidence in who God is and what God can do, I'm going to tell you how to get it. It starts with a surrender. It starts with a, God, I need you. God, I'm a sinner. God, I've made mistake after mistake. I've fallen, I've tripped. I've tried to do it my own way, and the enemy has taken me to and fro. Probably because I didn't know what was written. Because when the enemy came hitting me hard, I didn't have nothing to stand on. It's been times in my life, God, where I didn't want to be fathered by you, because if you're a father, watch this, you got to give me love, that's true, but you got to be willing to give me instructions, and I got to be willing to follow and listen to my father's instructions. And I didn't want to be fathered. I'd rather feed my ego. I'd rather feed my flesh. I'd rather feed my habits. It's been times, God, I'm going to be real with you, that the bag's been the most important thing, that it was money over everything. It was money over everything. I had to have the money. I had to have this. I had to have the latest fashion. I had to have these things. And if I didn't have the money, I felt less of a person. I know they told me you love me. I know they told me your son died for me. But it was the money that kept me feeling how I felt. If that's you. Or maybe you ain't been able to stand because you've been scurrying. Maybe because you've been rushing to it. And say, I got to get here and I got to get there. Instead, you know what? If it's God's will, I'm going to stand on his word until it comes. I'm going to stand on God's unchanging hands. I'm not going to tempt him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm going to wait until he gets it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to be faithful to whatever he's giving me right now. I'm going to be faithful in little so he can make me a rewarder over many. But it all starts with a surrender to his will. I told you, Jesus was led to the Spirit, led to the wilderness by the Spirit. But he first made sure what? He was committed to his Father's will. So if you need to give your life to Christ, if you need to say, look here, I'm a sinner. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. I've done things that God knows I've done. And some people don't even know. But I know that if you can admit that and confess to Christ, confess to God your sin, and ask for forgiveness, he can be the one to heal you. He can be the one to restore you. That's what the gospel's about. About us being redeemed, that the gospel, that Jesus' death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, is so powerful that it gives us new life. It is so powerful that it makes us new creations in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So if you need a Savior, if you need to be saved, let today be your day. I hope and pray this message has blessed you richly. I hope and pray the love of God flows in your life. And I hope and pray that we've been a help to you in your spiritual walk. God bless you. God love you. And God keep you. And may his face smile upon you. God bless you.